Marilyn Kring Productions in association with Emergent Life Studio presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2 for Autumn Semester 2019. Lecture 5, delivered on September 3rd.
Today, financial statements. But as usual, before we talk about the content of the day, we talk about the markets. And the question would come out, ma'am, good day or bad day on the street? What is bad? Oh, bad. Who's winning, the bulls or the bears? The bears. And they are taking a real serious whack right now. Interestingly, what types of companies... Tell me, ma'am, what types of companies are getting hit the worst today? Up there on the screen. What types of companies? What? Okay, you're taking it. Okay, Dow 30. Say what that means. Say it. The very largest corporations of the world are taking the biggest hit. With, interestingly enough, a mixed story. The S&P 500 is taking a hit down 0.75% in morning trading, and the NASDAQ is getting slapped too. So the big and the small are taking the worst of it, with the largest of the big really getting whacked. But the NASDAQ is down just shy of a full percent in the morning trading, which indicates that this is going to be a rough day. Looking at one of these, looking at the S&P 500, interesting kind of profile on this. We've got, we're at about the lunch hour. Yeah, we are stepping into the lunch hour now on the East Coast. And you can see that there was a bull run at the beginning, and then the bears just took a wailing shot, and the bulls have been crawling back ever since then. But interestingly enough, you see the volume spike there as the bears were taking their charge, and then it tailed off. And this looks like it's a run by the bulls, but it just doesn't seem to have a lot of momentum to it. But the early morning was a hard shot on the bulls by the bears, so we'll see where it goes. Trade talk, all that, yes, that is weighing on the markets, but there are longer fundamental problems. And just very quickly, let me pull up that yield curve, which I have now shown you. Treasury yields. Didn't want to do that. Treasuries. There we go. And as you can see, we don't have any data for this morning yet, but you can see that inversion, how we have rates doing something that they just should not ever do. Rates that are longer should be higher than rates that are shorter, and yet we have this deep, long-lasting inversion clear out to the 10, that's 7-year, to the 7-year. But even at that, we have the longest bond available, the 30-year treasury, that is below, good grief, it's below the 3-month. And it's matching just about, holy cow. The far end of the yield curve is lower than the shortest end. Very quickly to show you this dynamically. The dynamic yield curve chart. just to show you how severe this situation is. Here it is as of the end of last week. And as you can see, that is something that is just very unhealthy. There is no way we are going to avoid a recession. And we can put it off and put it off, but sooner or later, as you can see, it's just been getting worse and worse and worse over the past 6 months. And sooner or later, it's just going to lead to a terrible recession. About when you're out there looking for jobs, we'll be in the worst of it. So plan accordingly now. Go to our career fair, our internship fair. Get your credentials as strong as you can before all hell breaks loose, and it will break loose. Now, I'm going to go to a subject today that is... Will you be offended if I say something really dirty? Okay, we're going to do accounting. We're going to start with accounting because accountants prepare information products for end users. In speaking in more technical language, they make a group of products that are used by different constituencies for different purposes. Financial statements can be used by internal management to survey analyze the performance of the corporation on a number of levels. They can be used by stockholders to see if the company is doing well enough so that they can vote the board of directors back in at the next shareholders meeting. Obviously, by the Wall Street boys, and I use boys because they still don't seem to understand that there are women who can do this as well, being the field that it is. But all these groups, and then you also have others that look at these financial statements. I look at them as a financial analyst, and I break them down, but I can't use their end product. I have to correct it, parse it, and refine it, and fix it for my purposes. Other groups actually look at these too. Labor unions will look at these and say, okay, you want us to take a cut in our wages, and here you are doing really well. But we're not doing well, okay? Now let's look at these notes to the financial statement and the other documents. And, it says that you increased your salaries and your bonuses for the top executives. At the same time, you're asking us to take a massive pay cut. Why are you doing that? They deserve that extra money, and we don't for actually producing the products or services that you make your profit on. Other groups also, by the way, the government is a big user of those information products, going through them to make sure that they make sense, that they are doing things right and looking for warning flags and that something doesn't look right in these financial statements. In fact, interestingly enough, have you been introduced in your accounting class to what's called forensic accounting? It's sort of like the CSI of numbers jockeys. Peeling them apart and looking for those telltale signs that something isn't quite right here. And it's a fascinating field, and there is work to be done, especially in the government. They look for a forensic accounting people to help them ferret out such things as just cooking the books, laundering money, such other nefarious activities as that. Now, there are others who use these too. For example, environmental groups and other special interest groups will look at these financial statements to see what are your investments, what are your operations, where are you showing that you have some interest in reducing your carbon footprint and all of that. And there are even other groups that will have a look at them as well. But anyway, financial statements are important. They are the meat and potatoes of a whole industry that is, unfortunately, just like financial analysis, just like management, we're all under challenge. A lot of our jobs will be gone because of AI in the next 20 years. They will just be gone because these artificial intelligence systems will take over the day-to-day operations. And we'll be left wondering what we're going to do with the rest of our lives, how we can adapt to a world where our intellectual power is no longer needed because of all these companies that have something that's cheaper and faster and apparently smarter than we are. Let that sink in the next time you open your mobile phone and think that's the greatest invention in the universe. Here we go. I had brought up two acts of Congress back at the time when massive reform was brought to bear on the corporate life in America. The Securities Act of 1933, that marker isn't doing, the Securities Act of 1933 and the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. The Securities Act of 1933 and the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. These were powerhouses of legislation that not only established laws that govern first, primary market transactions in the 33 Act, and secondary transactions in the 34 Act, but also created an agency, the Securities and Exchange Commission, that would oversee the enforcement of these laws. Now, I kind of went through this, and I'll say this again. Passing a law really doesn't mean much of anything. And Congress can pass laws all day, and the president can sign them. But it really doesn't matter if there's no way to enforce the laws, to monitor behavior and enforce that behavior. And you can't just say, well, this law, enforce it. Who would enforce it? Well, federal prosecutors. Yes, at the same time, those federal prosecutors are prosecuting everything from mass murderers to bank robbers to money launderers and all that kind of stuff. They're supposed to do this too, having no training in securities law. Well, we'll call the police. Yeah, that's going to work too. I had a really good conversation just about 2 years ago at the internship fair here at ISU. It was a state attorney, and he really surprised me with the way he was talking. He knew I was a finance professor, and he said, well, that's what we'd like to see if we can get some people in here who have some expertise in accounting and finance as interns. Okay, that's interesting. And he said, look, he said, I send dozens and dozens of stupid kids to prison for years of their lives for everything from having dope on through to strong arm or armed robbery of a grocery store for $200. And then I get a call from a bank saying that they've got fraudulent transactions, $20 to $50 million, and I don't know what to do. Call the Highway Patrol, the Illinois Highway Patrol. They say, we don't have the resources, we don't have the training, we have no idea what to do with these people. And the state attorney says, we don't have any kind of knowledge base in our organization to be able to stop this nonsense. And so it goes on. The snot-nosed kid who's shaking his gun, shaking his hand, trying to be tough, gets $200 out of the cash drawer at Circle K. Yeah, we send him to prison for 25 years to life. And the crooks with an extra $50 million from laundering money through a state bank, nothing. Can't do a thing with them because no one knows what to do. That's how why we have, at the federal level at least, these agencies that, first of all, take the laws and they shape them into what we call regulations. And then they promulgate these to the industry they're regulating. They say, all right, this is this law, and this is how we're going to enforce this law. This is what this means on a practical level. And then they enforce it. In the case of the SEC, It takes securities laws as they are standing and as new ones come in, and then they interpret them, and they then explain them to the securities industry participants. And then, if you do wrong, they have a way to get to you. They will prosecute you civilly. And if the case is strong enough, they will then refine it and pass it on for criminal prosecution to federal prosecutors. States do this too, but my experience was, and I'm speaking from old school here, the state securities regulators are generally a bunch of politically motivated idiots. And I say that because they came after me. And I'll tell you a story later about that, which seems in retrospect to be one of the most surreal events of my life. I was working with companies that create public shells. They do public shells. They take over a dead public company. They inject a living private company into it. And then that private company becomes a public company without going through the formal SEC process of going public, because they are public because they took majority control of a public company. Okay. Technically, it is dodgy, but it is legal. But I was in the target of a regulator in the state of Utah who decided that what I was doing had to be in some way illegal, and he was convinced that not only was I a bad person, I was probably the Antichrist. And he had a master's degree in English, and he was working for the Division of Securities of the state of Utah, which, of course, yeah, those were good qualifications. And he was after me, and he called me one evening in my office. I had a little office on Old Intangee River Road in Columbus, Ohio, and he called me. He started it out with this. He was trying to play detective and see if he could catch me in some kind of a trap. We talked, got to know each other, and at some point, his beliefs came in. He's a Mormon. And I told him I was interested in becoming one. I shit you not, we spent about 40 minutes while he converted me, and I thanked him, and I had him send me literature, and he never bothered me again. True story, bro. Moving along here, let me take you public. Now, to go public at the federal level, and we're getting around to financial statements here, but to go public at the federal level, you could do it actually two different ways. It will be governed by the Securities Act of 1933 and such state laws as would be relevant in the states where you try to get people to buy your securities. But at the federal level, there are two ways, actually. You see, a lot of companies actually have common stock, but they're not public companies. They're private companies. They're close companies. My company is a stock-issuing company. It has only 1,000 shares that are authorized, 500 of which are outstanding, and I own them. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Now, I might technically want you, sir, to invest in my company. I would sell you one share of my company stock for 10 grand. Or something like that. In your case, maybe for 50 grand. You look like an easy mark. Okay, one way or the other, though. Okay, I could expand it, but I'd have to do so under exemptions that I explained to you before. There are exemptions. You're allowed to sell to certain types of investors as long as you're not doing it in violation of these exemptions that are out there. Okay, fine. It's still a private company. I sell 3 shares to you, ma'am. I sell 5 shares to you and to you. No, I'm not going to sell any shares to you. No, you're going to. And 2 shares to you, and okay, fine, 10 shares to you, but you don't get to sit in my chair in the office. Okay. If I do it okay, the exemptions say you can sell stock in private transactions. Under the exemption. Okay, I've gotten that done. And it's still a private company. And it's still a close company, too. In other words, it's closely held. We're all a kind of a close, not a family. Don't get that idea. I'm not bringing you to eat some of the food that I make in my smoker. Huh? Okay, I'm off at six. Oh. here's the deal, though. This is a close corporation. Now, after about 2-3 years, the company's actually doing pretty well, but I don't distribute the dividends. I plow them back into the company, and you people are starting to bitch and fuss. We'd like to sell some of our stock. I mean, for one thing, you just had your 18th kid, and you really need some extra money because, I mean, you're going to have to buy an expansion for your mobile home. And things like that. You want to be able to sell your stock at some point in the future. Okay, fine. Quit bitching. I can actually register your stock. It's sort of like a public offering, except I'm not going to sell any extra stock. I'm just going to register yours so that we could get a trading symbol running and people could buy the stock from you. And you could sell the stock. And if I do it that way, I'm going to file a registration statement on Form 10. Now, this number right here, 10, will come up again in just a little while when we get right into financial statements. This is merely registering existing stock so that you are now under the Securities Act of 1933. And ultimately, you probably will be under the Securities Exchange Act of 1934 if I get a ticker symbol. Now, getting the ticker symbol is separate. It's something that's done through an exchange like the NASDAQ or the NYSE or the AMEX. They won't talk to us unless we're a public company, of course. But once we're a public company, then we are in the gentle hands of an exchange that's going to rip our financials apart like the SEC never does and eat us alive if we've got problems in them. And I told you the stories of working with the NASDAQ to get companies their trading symbols on 13C211s, 15C211s. Okay, that's technically, the stock is registered that way. And if the offering is, if the registration is qualified by the SEC, and remember, government never approves anything. They qualify. If it qualifies, in other words, you've met all of the disclosure requirements, you've filled in all the right information, and nothing looks dodgy or anything like that, then they'll say, okay, this stock is registered. What that means in physical terms, well, it used to mean, when you had a stock certificate, that stock certificate of yours would have a big red stamp on the back of it, restricted. Cannot be sold except under certain weird rules. Rule 144 would be in effect. You couldn't do anything with it. None of you could. But once that's registered, I can have you send your stock certificates to the stock transfer agent I use for the company, and they will destroy those and issue you new clean certificates without that red stamp on them. They're freely tradable shares at that point. Now everything's done electronically now, so that restricted stamp is just some big bright flashing thing on some broker's screen. But one way or the other, that's one way that I can go public. I can go public that way. The other way would be through a public offering, an IPO, an initial public offering. And it's really, honestly, I've done both of these. And they're the only difference, really, is that in a public offering, you're registering new shares that you want to sell to the public. Now, interestingly, if you look at most of those, like, okay, the one I told you about before, the big 800-pound gorilla is the Form S10, S1, the Form S1 offering. Now, there are smaller company versions of it, the Form SB1, et cetera. But that's I'll use the S1 as the example. Okay. Now, if you look at S1s, where they're doing their initial public offering, you'd be surprised that sometimes they will put in existing stock and register it with the new stock they're going to issue. So in other words, in the case of the folks that I've sold the stock to, if I decided to go public, I could sell, let's say, I'm authorized for 500. So I could do, let's say, 900 and then piggyback your private stock into that registration statement on Form S-1, and lo and behold, you go public that way. Your stock gets its restricted stamps taken off it. I'm trying to remember what company I saw, and it actually kind of surprised me. It was in this class, and I didn't say anything about it at the time because I wasn't sure of what I was seeing, but I'll be damned, when they went public last year, they registered a pile of private investor stock. So those public investors, I wonder how many of them really noticed that their stock was getting watered down right out of the gate by a pile of stock that would be out there in the public trading along with theirs that wasn't in the stock that was sold in the IPO. But anyway, always keep an eye on that. When you, I'm interested in this public offering, just kind of looks, are they registering any old private stock from private investors in this? Yeah.
Did you find that in their 10-K?
Okay, that's where we're going to go on the next one. No, you would find that in the actual seminal document of the offering. I would go to the S-1 and look at it. Because after that, it just all becomes just a mass of stock in disclosures following it. That's an interesting question. Technically, you could tease it out. Yeah. You could see, well, how much do they offer? How much is now authorized and outstanding? If the authorized and outstanding is more than what they offered in their public offering, clearly, yeah, okay, I see it. Yeah, there is a way. Yeah, clearly that way. But it's a little bit, you'd have to look more detailed. And at my age, I don't have enough years left to look at accounting statements and take them seriously anyway. But anyway, here we go. Now, one way or the other, we've gone public. Now, therein lies the real big problem. The upside is that you get access to capital markets like you wouldn't believe. That public offering, investors are going to come from around the world if it's a decent public offering and you've got a good investment bank, and they're going to pour money into that company, capital. You have access to the world, and you don't have to worry about that whole thing with sophisticated private investors, blah, blah, blah. You're in the game now. The downside is that you now, under the Securities Act of 1933, you must now make disclosures on a regular basis. You are every year, essentially from here, what happens? Regardless of whether you do it on Form 10 or on Form S-1 or SB-1, you then have to file. You have disclosed everything at the beginning of the company's public life. That's what the Form S-1 or the Form 10 does. It discloses your whole life as a snapshot. And then, for the rest of eternity, you have to amend on a regular basis what you said at the beginning. So technically, what I'm going to say here, these are amendments to your original filing. They come in different flavors. The big ones are the Form 10, the Form 10K, which is an annual statement. And every quarter, you amend that with a Form 10Q. And then the next year, you fully amend with the next Form 10K. And you do this over and over forever and ever. This was a part that blindsided a lot of the companies. You see, I didn't really deal in the reverse mergers into the shells. What I did was clean up the mess, because these little companies would work with these players that I knew who would sell them the public shell. Private company inserted into the public company. Oh, wow, we're a public company now. Boy, oh, boy, the world is ours. The sky's the limit. And then they start getting all of these really nasty letters from the SEC. Where's your 10K? Where's your 10Q? Where are these documents? And that's where they would contact me. Help. Because they were essentially breaking the law, and they had no idea. And then when they found out how complicated these documents were, they dirtied their diapers. We can't do this. We produce products. We ain't no accountants. Well, I'm not either. But and I'll tell you right now, it's going to cost you a lot of money to fix your mess, because I'm going to have to backfile all of this stuff. Since the company came to life again, I'm going to have to grovel to the SEC. Please, sirs and madams, don't whip this client of mine too hard. And in fact, sometimes we would even talk about scaring the crap out of these companies with threats of fines in the millions of dollars just to make them find Jesus. And then this is serious. You don't understand. See that figure there? A $1.5 million fine. Well, they're going to take that out of you, and they will take away everything you own, because that's now your senior liability. So let's get serious about this and fix it up, and you're welcome if I keep you from having that kind of a fine to finally pay. Okay, that's where we are. These companies have to do this. I know that some of you will. I don't know how many. Probably the majority of you will at some point in your professional life end up being on one of the teams that brings together the information for these filings. Different teams bring together different documents, everything from a team for accounts receivable to a team for long-term debt, and they get the information, the raw information together into semi-produced products. They would feed those up the line to the accountants, who would then further refine them into the information products. And then they would go to the outside auditors, who would then sign off saying that these were done in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles consistently applied. Every quarter, every year. And it used to be a real old, literally an old boys network. The outside auditors and the company officials, they'd get together, yep, this looks good, go on. And then when the corruption came to the surface with companies like Enron, that was the end of that. And now, and some of the big accounting firms just got fined back to the Stone Age because they weren't really auditing. So now it's dead serious. And when these are filed, not only do the outside auditors have to sign off, but the executives and the board of directors have to put their signatures on them, so that if there is something phony going on, there are a whole lot of executives who are suddenly going to find themselves facing prison terms and fines. That was the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, otherwise SOX, Sarbanes-Oxley, Sarbanes-Oxley. Say that again? Sarbanes-Oxley. The Sarbanes-Oxley Act, SOX, SOX. Sometimes in my bad cynical mood, I refer to it as the Lawyers and Accountants Employment Assurance Act, because that put me out. I was out. At that point, I was gone, because I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an accountant, and so I can't do these like I used to for small companies. Small companies and big companies all have to use expensive people to do their work. They can't use bottom feeders like I was. Losers on the outskirts of a half-baked town in the Midwest to get them back in order. They have to use the real people in Chicago, LA, New York, all those kinds of nice places. Anyway, it's a cycle, and you'll find yourself in some cases being brought in to do this. It's a stressful period. The 10Ks are coming up and all of that. Companies either have a fit and they go crazy over it, or they just make it part of the hustle and flow of the company through its cyclical process every year. And one way or the other, it's just something we have to do. If you want those access to those capital markets by being a public company, you have to dance to the tune of the Securities and Exchange Commission. And then you're also probably going to have some hot dogs from state divisions of security looking up your, looking down your shoes too. But anyway, those are the big ones. But there are other ones too. It's all mandated under the SEC, by the SEC. Here's your go-to site, and I've shown it to you before. And now this becomes one of your... If you're wondering, what should I look at on the web tonight? You've got a lot of choices. You have Facebook, Snapchat, that idiotic, stupid-ass TikTok. My God! I almost turned into broccoli looking at that for 30 seconds. Anyway. And, of course, you know, you've got Tinder. Not that it's doing you any good, bro, but, you got lolcats, the Cheeseburger Network, one of the oldest. I was one of the original contributors to the memes that you probably haven't seen now because they're so old. They were famous in the day. You can look at Twitter if you're an old, tired person. Or you can go here. SEC.gov. This is where every public company's financial statements and its filings are on display for everyone to see. You understand that we are the magnet of capital from around the globe because we have such transparency in our public records and because we have the rule of law. So when people think it's funny because some person or some, especially some government or corporate person breaks laws and gets by with it or does things that are really bending laws, that is not good for the long term of our capital base. It shakes the confidence of international markets in the reliability of what we do and say. The SEC holds up its part of it by making everything companies disclose to it available to anyone on earth. And as I've told you before, some of these countries that I work with through the Management Development International Program, countries in West Africa, in the Caribbean, South America, Central America, convincing them about that absolute importance of full disclosure, full transparency. They see that as somehow offensive, not always, but sometimes it's almost like I'm offending their culture. Well, these are private matters. Doesn't matter. That company wants access to the world's vast quadrillions of money. Yeah, you're going to have to get over yourselves. And the rule of law. No, we don't want corrupt presidents. We don't want corrupt senators and representatives or prime ministers or kings. We need to have confidence in your ability to apply the law to every person from top to bottom so that we know contracts are good in your country and your courts aren't corrupted by money from families or rich people or politicians. We have to have that. Getting them to understand that, they kind of nod their heads, but it's a process you go through. And just explain, would you rather hide these details of this corporation, or would you rather have $17 million to invest in that company? Your choice. Give it. Let me know now. Okay. The filings are available in the EDGAR filing system. So you've got SEC.gov. On the menu bar, filings. Just mouse over. Don't click on it. Just mouse over it. and then company filing search. Now, ideally, you can type in a company name, but as I've cautioned you before, sometimes you'll have a bunch of companies with the same name. Well, I'm just going to look up Sears, S-E-A-R-S, in the left strip window. Go. Oh, yeah, that's a whole lot of companies. See how many things have the name Sears? Well, they're actually mostly all related to each other, but only one of them is the Sears that you actually want. The publicly traded, will you quit it? So, is there some reason this sucks? It keeps bouncing. Do you see that? Oh, that really was weird. It just keeps bouncing back. Okay, I'm closing that window. All right, who put Adderall into the USB drive? And now we got a spinning disk. Yep. Okay, let's try that again. And we're just going to sit there looking pig-faced blank. Don't make me reboot you, machine. I've crashed. Okay. Let's try that again. No, I'm not going to use Chrome because I don't want Google to find out everything about me. Okay, we're going to do something really nasty. I'm going to... Microsoft Edge. Let me do Edge. Wow. There's a fast browser. Okay, let's try it again. SEC. SEC.gov. Nope, I sure didn't. I screwed that up. SEC.gov. I really do know how to do this. I swear to you. No, don't ask me again either. I don't want to use it. Filings. Company filing search. Okay, now. It's better if you get the ticker symbol or the CIK. The CIK is sort of like an identifier of a company or its securities. But using the ticker symbol will get us right dead on to the company. SHLD, I think, is Sears. Am I crashing here too? Yeah, this is the fastest browser I've ever seen. Yeah. Okay, now, taking it back, the first thing, and you'll see this quite frequently, the 8K. And I'm repeating what I've said to you before. I appreciate that. It's the best way for you to learn is if I say things more than once. I'm sure your parents said things 50 million times and you still don't remember it. You will. 8Ks. These are required filings for unusual events, for non-recurring events. So if we appoint a new CEO, we fire the old CEO and we have a new one, we would have to report that on a Form 8K. If I do a press release, that's a non-recurring event. It doesn't happen every on a cyclical basis. About anything would be an 8K filing. It's short, it's boilerplate. You just say, this is what has happened. And then you just go on from there, and you don't worry about it. Now, Sears, just out of curiosity, document. Now, usually your HTM, and these are exhibits, okay? This is the HTM. Usually the first one is the document itself. And we are just sitting here looking stupid. Yeah, there we go. All the boilerplate and all that kind of stuff, it's all electronically done these days. It used to be all on paper, and I did the paper ones, and then I became one of the first Edgar filing agents when they were beta testing this years and years ago. And then they wouldn't let me do it after many years. But all it says is, okay, here's something that's happened. As previously reported on October 15, the petition date, Sears Holding Company and certain of its subsidiaries filed voluntary petitions at the United States Bankruptcy Court. In other words, this is just a reminder that we have filed for protection under Chapter 11. It's a non-recurring event. It's a subject of an 8K. I mean, you, if you're doing hardcore investment analysis, you're prowling for these things to pop up, an 8K, because within an hour or two, anything that's in there that wasn't already disclosed is going to be absorbed by the markets and the price will reflect it. So if you're going to look at these as investment information, you need to get to them really fast, because especially now that these stupid AIs are in place, they'll have this thing, they'll have a red in literally in a couple microseconds, and they will trade out on the information interpreting it. The good news now is that these AIs are actually, they're fairly smart, but they make really dumb moves, almost like a genius child. One minute he's doing calculus, the next minute he's seeing how gasoline in the can lights up when you drop a match in it. So it's like here and there. Sometimes these AIs actually don't interpret something the way it should be, and they trade contrary. That's mostly just fantasy work. Okay, now, let's get out of that. I'm going to show you one here. I don't know if the documents are here yet. This browser sucks. .com. Microsoft Edge. I click, and a few seconds later, oh, you want me to do something? Yeah. Let me look at Uber. I don't follow that industry, so I don't know if they're actually public yet or not. Cues. Oh, look at this. There he is. The original S-1 filing statement. And then they had to do an amendment to it. And the SEC, look here. The SEC yelled at them about something in their S-1. This was the S-1. This is deficiencies in it. This was where they fixed the deficiencies. And this is where the SEC says, you still suck. And they are moving forward. See, the S-1 was the original, and now they do the quarterlies, and at some point down the road, they'll do one more quarterly, and then they'll do their first 10K, the annual amendment. Again, look at this. I'll take you through it. Okay, there was all kinds of back and forth before the filing. Then they filed the form S-1. Yeah. Let me show you an S-1. These are all the exhibits that were in it, done as like hyperlinks, the way they do it now. It's sort of like web pages work. The same trick is being used. But it's that one on the top. I really don't want to see this. This is scary. There it is. A real live, they went public. This is their petition to the United States Securities and Exchange Commission to have their sale of stock qualified to sell to the public. And if you take it down through here, sweet. I mean, this thing is just like, it's all, this is the real deal. I did one Form S-1. I did several SB-1s and a bunch of Reg D 504s. This is it. Just essentially showing all of this wording and names and graphs. And you can't lie. See, this is something that's new. We were never allowed back in the old days to have pictures. I mean, if I'd sent a picture, I should have done that. I wonder what would have happened if I'd sent a selfie. Hi, SEC. Here I am again. Well, I probably would have had the FBI on my door. And little picture people? No, we weren't allowed to do colors. God, I hate this world. Anyway, look down here. Here's what I was talking about. See all the signatures? This is all the important people in the company and the board of directors saying these are true. These are correct. These are accurate. We are not misleading in any way. So that if something is found that was illegal, they just bring this. You go to, they haul the executives into court and the board of directors, and they say, here's your signature. Now, did you forge it? Was this forged, or is this your signature? That's my signature. Case closed. Judge sentenced this son of a bitch. That's how serious it is these days. Does that mean that lies don't happen? Oh, they pretty much, yeah, they do. Sometimes with the permission of the SEC, the 10 largest banks in the world were lying through their teeth on their 10Ks. They were lying. The SEC knew they were lying. The Federal Reserve knew they were lying. The Treasury Department knew they were lying. And then what happened when they were caught in their lie? Then the Federal Reserve and the Treasury went to court in defense of those 10 largest banks in the world and tried to get a judge to suppress the facts behind the lies. That was a very, very nice, mean lady judge in Washington, D.C. District Court that said, this is unbelievable what you are lying about. The lie? $7.7 trillion of money that was being shoveled in the back door of the 10 largest banks that wasn't being shown on the financial statements of those banks. The auditors would have to have known it. The Treasury, the SEC, the Federal Reserve, they all had to know this was going on. So when investment analysts like us, like me, saw those financial statements and did not see all of that money being infused in the back door, we were screaming bloody murder, short those banks. They're dead. We didn't know that the financial statements were a lie. So don't always believe what you see. That's my bitch about that. Okay, now, coming back out and breathing, Uber is at its very beginnings as a public corporation. Now we'll take something that has been around for a lot longer. Let me take something that is not weird. Sometimes I bring up Tesla and then I just start giggling my brains out. So I'll take a nice stable company like Target, TGT, and again, notice that you need to know the trading symbol, search. Now, Target has been around for a long time. See, here was its last annual filing. So its fiscal year was sometime, here's what I'm thinking. Fiscal and calendar year don't have to be the same thing. And it just drives me crazy that they aren't. So you could have a fiscal year end on September 1. You could have a fiscal year end on, there's one company, its fiscal year ends on January the 31st of the next year. I mean, that's weird, but it's just the way it is. So in this case, it looks to me as if, look here, see the date of the filing, the third month, 13th day? That would tell me that their fiscal year end was December the 31st. It's a calendar year because you have 3 months to file. I think it's about 3 months now. So I would bet you that Target is actually on a calendar year. Now, you're not going to file, oh, it's December the 31st. Let's file on January the 1st. No, you're going to go through a hellacious process. That's that process I was telling you. 3 months, Target was whacking along 2.5 months before it had everything together in proper form for the filing. And again, I've shown you this before, and I'm taking you to the point where I don't have to do this. Here is what a 10K looks like. And again, these are all things that are hyperlinked from the 10K itself as separate files. But at the top, there's the animal. And we are going to sit here and stare. Oh, there. See that? That's red. We didn't used to be able to do that. There was black and white. That's all there was. Matter of fact, when I started teaching, we didn't even have all these fancy integers. All we had was 0 and 1. And that was enough. You could do a lot with zeros and ones. Anyway, sorry, I'm drifting here. Okay, look at this. This is the whole nine yards. You see why it's a big project for a company? They get everyone involved, partly because no single person can do it. Even these AIs, they collect data like you wouldn't believe, but they still can't do this. There's a human aspect to it. It also, and I've heard this said by more than one executive, bringing people in the company, the junior executives, into this process, gets them to understand, this is dead serious. You're not in college anymore. You're not in high school. This is the real life of being a working adult. They want them to see this. And as you can see, look at this. Look at this monster. It's literally a public offering. You're just amending it to say, here's what has changed. Here's what hasn't. Here's what has. All through this. And you can find all kinds of information that can do you a whole lot of cool things in research papers. And I'm going to show you more about how to capture data off these. But one thing that I brought it up before and I emphasize this. See the item 7? That's the management discussion and analysis of financial condition and results of operations, the MD&A. It is special because this is where the company talks about itself. And it doesn't pull punches. Historically, it has been, in a way, the fun part. Because we can tell the story. The good and the bad both, okay? We had this go up. That's because of this. We had this go down. That's because of this. Okay, our sales in this region weren't very good. Matter of fact, they were bad. Why was that? Because we screwed up. It can almost get to that level of bluntness. And they will show all those numbers, and they will explain them. Now, why is that important to you? Well, heck, you're going to be in a public company probably, and you're also probably going to want to apply to companies that are public companies. Read things like this, and you'll walk in there, and no one else at that interview is going to know the stuff that you know and have the questions that you could ask. Now, don't be a jerk. Well, why does your company seem to be failing? Now, you know. And, oh, by the way, you can't be too honest. Oh, well, tell us why you want this job. Because I'm really sick and tired of starving to death as a student, you stupid idiot. Hire me. No, don't say that. Okay, now, let me take you back here. Here's where it's very cool, because all companies have to provide all of their financial statements in Excel form. You can look at them right here, as you've seen me do on a number of occasions. Or you can just download the whole Excel sheet. Everything. Is it actually going to do anything with that click? Oh, there it is. Well, let's open it. Now, I caution you, this is the best way to extract information. And I'm going to talk more about that on Thursday. Getting information in the best way. Why are you running a security scan on SEC documents? They are the original virus creator by making us do all these documents we have to do. Okay, come on. I had no idea Microsoft Edge sucked like it does. It just drags. Then again, Firefox crashed, so there's that. You should try Opera, that's the one I use. Is there some view downloads? You know, this is like skiing behind a rowboat. Oh, Look how slow this thing is. I mean, my God. This is slower than my Uncle Bino when he had to go to the family reunions. Bino, you're going to have to go. You're walking very slowly. Okay. Come on. Really? Okay. Enough of this nonsense. I should know better than to use computers. I can do things on the board just fine. Mother of... Okay. And now I've got the white screen of death. Okay. I should know better than to use computers. Here's Excel. Now, here are the little tabs down here. I can't believe I've actually tried to do an Excel spreadsheet. Okay, downloads. Nope, it's not there. Oh, here's Excel coming online. God, it's hot up here. Okay. Dear God, you know what? Okay, document type. Enable editing. Okay, there. See, the problem, though, is that this document will have dozens and dozens of tabs that don't really matter to us. Some of them could, if you're researching specific things, like there are tabs that break down all of the debt that the company has. There are tabs that go into the details of the executive compensation. But for the most part, the ones that we will be interested in are these. And I'm going to add one to the book because this drives me crazy that this one is not mentioned in almost any financial analysis literature. Okay, first of all is your income statement. Now, the income statement is nothing but a side calculation that flows, the result of it, flows to other documents. It flows to the balance sheet because that's the number, but not right away. The income statement actually flows first to the statement of retained earnings. And then the statement of retained earnings flows up to the balance sheet. How much money was left at the end for the shareholders? Okay, what does that add to the shareholders' total value in the company, minus dividends? Okay, that becomes the shareholders' equity. The total of what they've had from before plus what is added now, that flows to the shareholders' equity on the balance sheet. But then there's another one over here, the statement of cash flows. That is a long, painful, by the way, they call it statement of cash flows. You may see in old school, from my time, we would sometimes call it the sources and uses statement. Have you ever heard, did they ever bring that one up to you in an accounting class? Okay. Sources and uses, what we call that. Now, the income statement, you can see that. consolidated statement of results of operations. Old school, back in my time, a lot of people call it the P&L, the profit and loss statement. So it's gotten different names. The SEC used to have an iron fist. You call it this, this, and this. Now you can see, I mean, literally, there are students classes where I didn't know which one of those things on that list was the income statement because it had such a weird name. But anyway, okay, that's a statement of cash flows. That flows to the cash line on the balance sheet. So there's like this interlocking set. So the balance sheet is sort of like the core document. The core document. And I use the word flows. These flow to the reservoir. These are cash flows. This is a static amount at the end of a year. These are through the year, and then they all come into the reservoir at the end of the year as a snapshot. Now, as I said, though, there's another one. There's another financial statement. Hardly ever will you see it mentioned. And it is so important if you're doing actual analysis. Financial analysis, analysis for understanding a company that's a competitor, understanding a company for which you want to be employed. It is over here on the side. All of these have footnotes to them, explanations, details. It's the notes to the financial statement. Now this guy, they're in there. Interestingly, it used to not be quite this way, and I think I understand because in Excel, each of the notes will be a separate tab in that massive Excel sheet you're seeing there. You have to go back a ways to find them. They'll tell you things that you probably would want to know. Like, there's notes that explain, well, we gave this much stock to this executive. There's this note over here, well, this executive sold this stock. Well, there's a note here that says, well, actually, we have this lawsuit happening that might destroy our company. Those kinds of things, and are the numerical value of the exposure in that lawsuit is as much as, even though we think we're going to win, you might find that that's where you can see that kind of information in these notes to the financial statements. It doesn't hurt to just look at them. I mean, a lot of times unless you're abnormal, too many numbers and words all jumbled together can make you go blind. And I appreciate that. If it isn't that, but it is worth it for you to have a look at those. Let me see if I can run over here real quick. And I'm going to show you. I mean, look at all these tabs. You can look at their inventory. They will list them in this Excel sheet. Every company has to do this. Imagine, and they break down the revenues of the company. I mean, everything is explained here. That's why this is such a big deal in companies. That's why they bring people like you into the process once you're there so that you can be a part of this. And companies hate it, but at the same time, secretly and grudgingly, they say, this is how we stay disciplined. It's not just us doing what we want. We have to do this because our parents at the SEC will kick our butts if we don't get up and do this every time we're supposed to. We'll go into this, and it'll be more interesting in the next lecture. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.